Hi, everyone. We're getting started. If we can start out with the serenity prayer, that would be great. Okay, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Welcome to our panel. And that tool that we're doing is outreach calls. We have three speakers, and then we'll do like a little interactment, you know, of outreach calls, how you do them, good, bad outreach calls, you know, when you don't want to do them and not, you know, and tricks we play saying they're outreach calls. So I think we should speak for 10 minutes apiece, then we'll have half an hour left, and then we can see what everyone else wants to say. So I'm going to time you 10 minutes, and you could see. Our first speaker is Debbie.
Yay. Hi, my name's Debbie. I'm a compulsive eater. So good to see everyone. So glad to be here. So when I came in 1998, I had got struck abstinent. I had 9 months of abstinence. I was a food inventory step and maintenance sponsor. I hit goal weight, and I wasn't going to outreach anyone. There was no reason for it. I'm just on a diet. That's all I need. Don't tell me what to do. And proceeded to not be able to stay abstinent for 10 years. And that was the hardest 10 years of my life. And the last time I came in 2006, I had two little kids. They were 14 months apart. And I didn't want to be here anymore because I couldn't stop eating. And I didn't care. I didn't care that I had kids. I didn't care that I had a house. I didn't care I had a husband. I didn't care anybody. I didn't care about anything because the food just took over my life. And what happens to me when I eat is I get severely depressed and I can't get out of bed. And I just, all I want to do is eat. And that's all I do. You know? And I've done that since I was 13 years old. I knew at 13 that I had a problem with food when I got 5 plates of food and I went to the kitchen to put my plate away and I couldn't put my plate away. I just kept getting more food. And a series of events that I just tried to, you know, be okay. Like, if I had the house, I'd be okay. If I had the baby, I'd be okay, you know, because then I could be fat if I was pregnant. So that was always a good excuse for everything. But the outreach calls were the one thing I was going to pick and choose. And by the time I got here 2006, I was willing to do whatever it took, you know. And for me, the outreach calls were the last thing, you know. I had to do this every day. I get to do this every day. I get to save my life every day. I get to not be depressed every day. I get to build relationships with people who love me. Like, why wouldn't I want to do that? Like, this is what happens to me in my disease, you know. I don't like people. I don't think they're going to, you know, I don't know what to say to people when I call them. And I don't, like, connect with people. I thought, I actually took a test recently and said I'm kind of autistic. So I was like, oh, that's an excuse. But I do this anyway. You know, I don't have any excuse to be like socially awkward, you know, because that's my disease. I want to isolate. I want to binge, you know, watch TV or binge my brains out because that's my normal. That's what I do. That's what I'm used to. And people hurt me. So why am I going to talk to them? And I've found that in this program, when I've called people and when I take outreach calls, it really enhances my life. You know, I get a better life. And that's the best thing. You know, it talks about in the big book that frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. And I can tell you for a fact that fellowship on Saturday is my favorite part of the week. I look forward to it every week. And as a matter of fact, we had fellowship in the car for 4 hours on the way here. And it was lovely. And, you know, I always think, oh my God, we're going to drive in a car and, you know, be with people all for 4 hours. Oh my God, I don't even spend that much time with my kids. What the hell am I going to do? But there's a reason for that, because they don't have a program. But people that I hang out with in program are so different. I want to be with them. I enjoy their company. I actually, you know, enjoy being still and being okay, being able to show up who I am, and people love me like that. That's amazing. Like, I never got that in my family of origin. I still don't get that in my family of origin. And I'm grateful I get it here, because there's nothing like it. And it just starts with an outreach call like that. And that's the thing. It's like, I can't pick and choose what I do. I just do it, and it works. And it works out way better than I could plan. You know, when I pick and choose and think I know what I need, that's just, you know, recipe for disaster for me. It just never works out well. But I'm grateful. And I've had outreach calls where people are in the disease, and they argue with me. And I don't really like that. But I know that I had to do a lot of work, you know, for myself to not take that personally, you know, because when I deal with people in the disease, I get affected and I get sick and I get infected. It's like going around people with the flu. I get sick. So I have to really remember to put my mask on, to pray, ask God to show me what to say. And sometimes I don't need to say anything. I recently got a call, you know, telling me all about her life and what she was doing and blah, blah, blah. And then I'm making suggestions. She never asked me for my opinion. You know, it's like, hello. And then I get mad because she's not listening to me. You know, it's like, I set that up. You know, that's my part. Nobody asks for your opinion, Debbie. And then you get mad when they don't take it, or when they don't think, you know, and they start arguing with me. And it's like, oh, well, next time I can just say, well, it sounds like you have it all handled. You know, you didn't ask me. I don't need to inject my opinion. And, you know, that's my part. That's what I get to learn. I get to learn how to talk to people. I get to learn how to have relationships with people. And I get to learn how to listen sometimes. You know, I don't need to fix everybody else's problems. I can't even fix my own problems. Why do I think I can fix other people's problems? You know, that's my disease. That's how I'm infected by the disease of, you know, thinking I know best for everyone. And I don't. And I have no idea. I get to love people the way I was loved here. And, you know, no matter how messy I am, I get to show up, and I get to do the tools, and I get to save my life. And somebody I heard long ago that says, I don't do the tools because out of virtue, I do it to save my life. And they do save my life. And the reason they save my life is because I did not make them up. You know, I just do them. I did not have to make up this program. I did not have to make up the food plan. I did not have to make up the tools and the things that help me stay abstinent. I just have to do them. And when I do them, it works. And I don't know what else to say. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. Thank you. Our next speaker is Suzanne. I'm just going to put the do here. Wait a minute.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. I'm Suzanne, grateful compulsive eater. Hi, everybody. And outreach calls. So when I came to the program, you know, I saw seven tools. One of them was outreach calls. And in my disease, I'm a big isolator, and I thought, how am I going to, you know, get out of that? And my sponsor gave me about 10 names and numbers, and I believe Michelle was on that list, actually. And in my group, I came from a very large meeting. It was Santa Monica Saturday morning meeting, very, very large. But it seemed to me, this is my perception, that I really couldn't break through to find a group of people that I could call and they would actually talk to me or call me back. Whether that was true or not, that was my perception. And so that I went to another meeting, it was smaller, and it seemed like with that group, they would outreach me and I'd outreach them. And so I had a small group of people I could call. And then I was going to this other meeting, and a lady approached me, and she said, are you available for really late night outreach calls? And I said, yes. So there was sort of a service, unofficial service position I took, that I was available at 11, 12, 1, 2 in the morning, because in the beginning of my abstinence, my hours of sleeping were all over the place, just like my food was at the beginning, yeah, before I was abstinent. And so I was able to do that service of being able to be for that person. They were a business owner, and they had very late working hours. And that helped my program. It helped me feel part of that I was giving back. And a lot of times when I'd receive an outreach call, that the person was making their outreach call, but that call actually ended up helping me. And at times I'd tell the person that, they're like, oh, I don't want to bother you. But I said, you're not bothering me. Actually, this is really helping me. And it's just a miracle how that happens. It's not a coincidence. And I wanted to also talk about why we make outreach calls. And sometimes when I share this with someone that's rather new, they're grateful for me of reminding them of this. AA got started with a phone call, right? Bill was visiting Ohio and wanted to stay sober. And he went to that phone booth and looked for another drunk to talk to. That's how it started. It's really, really important, that contact of talking to another compulsive eater. And so I like the energy that I get in my face-to-face meetings. I need the hugs. I need to be seen, because in the disease, I am an isolator. So I need to be seen. Having said that, in the phone bridge, they actually rely more on the outreach calls. And then in some face-to-face meetings, that's my perception. But I've been told that other people agree. And the phone bridge, they're much more willing to outreach and return outreach calls and make the outreach calls. So I got to meet a lot of people that way. And the other great way to make outreach calls and have really great outreach calls is to get in the service. When I became a delegate, I met a lot of people I'd never met before. And they have become really good friends of mine. And I would not have met them had it not been for the service position of being a delegate. And they're still my closest friends today. In the very beginning, as I said, I had a really small group of people that I could outreach and that would return my outreach call. And one of them was someone I met in my second meeting. And she was someone I could call anytime, day or night. And she unfortunately passed away 3 years ago. But it was someone that I really clicked with. And we had a lot more in common, not just about the food. So I have a lot of very strong friendships in this group, in this fellowship. But I also wanted to talk about what my outreach call looks like. So I have a sponsee that has taken this upon herself to call newcomers and returnees. And so it has helped me. It reminds me, like, yes, why am I here? What's my primary purpose? To abstain from compulsive eating and to carry the message. And by carrying the message to the newcomers. So I also do, I'll reach out to newcomers and they'll start out about, how many meetings have you been to? Do you have a sponsor? And if they don't have a sponsor, I'll talk to them about that. If they do have a sponsor, I'll ask, what questions are you writing on? Because sometimes they're in their first 30 days. Maybe they're in inventory. It depends. And I'll ask about that. I'm also open for questions. I remember this one guy from Washington State called me and said, can I ask a food question? I said, yeah, it does not bother me. And I told him, I appreciate you for asking that. And he said, what type of salad dressing do you use? And I, shared. He told me about salad dressing I never heard of before. And it actually meets more of my requirements for my abstinence. And I was like, whoa. So, you never know what you're going to learn from a newcomer. And just so grateful for that one. I'll ask someone, what step are you on? What meetings do you go to? Do you ever go to fellowship? And, are you going to the convention? I'm good about, asking people to service. ask about that. Would you consider being an eater group rep? Oh, I got tons of questions. And I don't even have to have them written down. I just go down my mental list, right? But I get to have relationships with these people. And it's not just all program. It's about life. It's about life. What's going on in your life? Are you doing anything for yourself to have fun? Because we're not a glum lot, right? We get to laugh. We get to go out and enjoy life. So my outreach calls, it depends. There are some people that I just outreach that we're on such a deep level in our, both of our, of all, well, in our programs. We may not always talk about the meeting or the service commitment at the meeting. We talk more about what's really going on deep inside. And they feel comfortable sharing with me, and I feel comfortable sharing with them. I also had I liked how my friend that passed away had a different categories list. She had some people she'd outreach about work situations. She'd have a couple she could reach out about living with a parent. And she had other people about relationships in general. And I like that because she had her go-to list. And so I had that. I had my go-to list where I felt safe about sharing about taking care of my mom because not everybody wanted to hear it. And I didn't really share about, woe is me, not that, just, you know, the ups and downs. But I needed to be able to share that. And some people was like, well, why don't you just put her in a nursing home? Well, that was not helpful. You know, and I didn't ask to be told. I just wanted to share. And so I learned, okay, certain people I could call because they might have a similar experience, or at least they'd listen and wouldn't tell me what to do. I guess I have that problem, so. Anyway, you're supposed to laugh at that. Come on, people. And so I learned, oh, yeah, I could call these people about that, and it's safe, and I can call these people about other things. Or I can just call anybody just to find out how you're doing in your pro rep. How much time do I have left?
Way.
Oh, okay.
Till 2.21,
but it just... Okay. Thank you. Anyway, it's helpful for me to know where I am and with my thoughts. So I have learned so much from being part of this program, and I am very, very grateful that outreach calls are part of it. Because as I said, for me, it's a program of isolation. And we can isolate even inside the rooms, even inside a meeting. You know, I heard someone at the microphone at one meeting say, no one ever outreaches me. And someone said, well, do you outreach anybody? And it's like, I want to receive it. If I want to receive outreach calls, I need to make them. And there is no right way or wrong way to make an outreach call. If at first all you can do is say, I am, you know, Sophie Clutchbucket, and I'm making an outreach call, you know, hey, you, that is a good start. And I'm not going to tell someone, you have a rotten outreach call. A, I would never think that, but B, I would never say that. So, you know, maybe the second time they call and they're like, oh, I'm just making an outreach call. And then, you know, they're not running off the phone, you know, 10 seconds earlier. I'd say, well, then how about blah, 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 blah. So it's a good start just to get them to do it. And it, are we bothering someone? Oh, I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to make outreach calls because I'll be bothering somebody or interrupting somebody. Well, if you're in a position where it's going to interrupt you, please don't answer the phone. Just to say, oh, I got your outreach call. I would say if you're going to answer the outreach call, you know, at least be available for a couple of minutes, maybe. I don't know. That's how I look at it. But you're not a bother, because I'm not a bother. It's one of the requirements of the program. And it's in order for us to have better relationships, because a lot of us, well, I'll just speak about myself. I didn't always know how to have relationships with people. I used to a long time ago. But in the disease, little by little, I introverted and I did not know how to have healthy relationships with anybody. Not even with food, not with myself. Probably the only healthy relationship I had was with my dog because she couldn't tell me what to do. And she didn't tell me stop eating. She just loved me. So it's about building relationships and having healthy relationships and just learning to live through those outreach calls. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. Okay, welcome to everyone that came in. And my name is Michelle, and I'm a compulsive eater and bulimic. And, you know, I used to hate outreach calls, and I used to hate answering the phone, because when the phone rang, I was terrified because I thought the newcomers were going to get me as long as everyone else. And I thought that they wanted something from me, that whoever called wanted something from me. So I was terrified to answer the phone, and I would stare at it until it stopped ringing. You know, I mean, little to say, you know, I wasn't able to stay abstinent, you know, with that kind of behavior. And, you know, there's 7 tools, and I could never work all the tools at the same time because it was so overwhelming. Therefore, I couldn't stay abstinent either. I kept going out. So I learned how to work all the tools every day. And I remember, you know, I'm abstinent 13 plus years, you know, when I had gone out a lot. And when I had started this abstinence, every night I would get down on my knees and look at the printed sheet of tools for fear of if I didn't work one tool, I was not going to go to bed, because I knew if I didn't work one tool, there was a chance that I wasn't going to stay abstinent. So, you know, what I do with my sponsor and sponsees, I always have them go through the tools every day, you know, and tell me who they outreach, because I know how to play the game. You know, I would just, I've gotten many calls and, you know, I've done it. Hi, I'm just making an outreach call. Thanks. Have a good night. You know, move on to the next one, you know, and that doesn't work, you know. I just learned how to have conversations with people. And, you know, I've gotten a lot of outreach calls with people. You know, I can't talk recipes. So, you know, I always let them know I want to talk program, because talking recipes gives me that salty taste in my mouth. And then I really want to go eat. So, you know, I've started out getting friends in this program with outreach calls. And this one woman, for example, I would just call, I've had many examples, and, you know, and just, you know, how are you? Fine. What's going on? Nothing. How's your program? Okay. You know, so I started learning how to do stuff like this. What's your favorite meeting? You know, which tool do you like the best? You know, and talking about getting into conversation. And, you know, by doing that, this one person, we actually became friends and know things about each other. But it started out as just making an outreach call. Thanks for calling. Bye. You know, when a lot of times they've been outreach calls of making an outreach call, and we talk for like 5 minutes, and they go, "I'm going to hang up and call you back." Is that going to count as an outreach call? You know, and so there's, you know, I know about, you know, like game playing and manipulation, and, you know, like, you know, it's like I do the best I can, you know, but I have to say, I come from a place of perfection, and if things aren't right, I get really guilty. Like if I haven't done it all and everything, and you know what I mean? Just like, you know, I don't say, I, you know, people would say, you know, just work the program like a loose garment. If I worked the program like a loose garment, it would be a triple X sweater that never, you know, that is like a huge tent around, you know, the building that I just like, you know, don't do anything. But I mean, I understand when they say work the program like a loose garment, because they're trying to tell me not to be so rigid, because, you know, I remember things like there's the food plan and it says 2 pieces or 4 ounces. And I'd be, well, you know, it's a bird, you know, because I'm not allowed to mention food. And I'd be like, well, there's bigger birds and smaller birds. And then, you know, I'd be obsessed with staring at all the birds and how do I know which bird to buy and all that stuff. And, you know, what was told to me was just get the bird, either debone the whole bird, you know, if you feel more comfortable, or you get 2 pieces, but cut the crap of hanging on to the perfection of that nonsense, because that is another form of obsession for me and not really knowing what's going on and working the program and getting down to, well, what am I feeling right now? And, you know, yesterday I had a really, really difficult day. We spent a lot of work getting that boutique together, and we spent one really hot day going through clothes out in the valley. And then we came early on Thursday and spent 6 hours, and then I had to come back Friday and do more. So I sort of had a meltdown yesterday, and, you know, around some other circumstances that I'm not going to say, but I kind of couldn't stop crying, and then I couldn't get out of my room. So people were calling and offered to come up, and someone came up, and I said, just lay in bed with me and rub my hand. So I forgot to take some medicine that I have to take, so I had like a really bad kind of reaction. And forgot to bring it. My cat sitter drove it here. So, you know, and then I just put on the wedding dress because we were doing a skit. And you know, but I wasn't going down. We already missed that we were first, so we missed that. And I said, you know, I'm just going to act as if. And I kept praying, you know, and made some outreach calls to people that weren't here, you know, and just laid there, prayed, you know, someone sat with me. I got dressed and I went downstairs and it went well. You know, there were things that I forgot because of circumstances that had happened, but it's like, in order for me to stay abstinent, I have to do a lot. So even though I had like way too many commitments at this convention, it's like, well, which commitments shouldn't have I done? Well, the boutique was so much fun. The talent show was so much fun. This is great. So I guess, you know, it's a pitch on commitments too, you know, and, you know, being grateful that, you know, that I'm here and, you know, I don't live far, but this is the first time I stayed. And the reason why I stayed was, is because, you know, I had to hire a cat sitter. My cat is in his third year of stomach cancer. And because I had to hire a cat sitter, pay for a cat sitter, I started thinking, why don't I just take care of myself because I have so many commitments and why don't I just stay here? So, you know, it was a different experience because it's hard for me to interact with people. It's easier for me to, you know, be in the boutique screaming at everyone, wait your turn, step back, which was yesterday. Everyone was like rushing, you know, and bargaining for prices. And I was like, I'm having a meltdown. Everyone back off, you know. And I don't even know what the point was, you know.
Outreach calls?
Oh, outreach calls, yeah. So I had to go make outreach calls and talk about how the people at the convention were making me insane. And I just want to announce that it's half price now. So that happened after lunch. And I want to thank everyone because we made our goal. We hit like 1,300, 1,400 by the time lunch hit. And last year we barely made 1,000. So we really put a lot of work into it. So I just want to thank everyone. So
I'm calling you. It's going to ring like 4 times and I'm going to pick it up.
Hello. Hi, it's Elizabeth from Howe. I'm sure you're way too busy and I'm sorry to bother you, but I got to get these calls in. And so I like had my meal and so I'm so sorry I'm bothering you.
It's okay. Thanks for calling. I'm actually right out, heading out the door. I thank you so much for calling. No, I will give you a call tomorrow.
Let's do a good one.
Okay.
Ring, ring, ring.
Hi, Elizabeth. How are you?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Back in the olden days, Amy, before you were alive, we didn't know who was calling us.
Oh, well, I'm really happy to hear your voice. And I have to tell you, I haven't been doing a great job with my outreach calls, but I'm glad that you called me today. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, I'm doing this because I want freedom. And I've heard that the opposite of addiction is connection.
Absolutely.
And I don't have to like doing this. And I'm going to just talk some more. I just know that if I make these outreach calls, I'm not going to be on the program. I'm going to be in the program.
And I always heard, would you rather be on a submarine or in a submarine? And this food addiction is no joke. And they talk about these days being in the center of the herd. And if I don't make these calls, I'm going to pick up.
Yeah. And, you know, I have never been able to have abstinence this long ever. And I've been in this program since 2009. And the only difference is that I'm using the tools. I never sponsored. I never was of service in other ways. And surprise, surprise, I'm staying abstinent for a longer period of time by doing those things. And that includes outreach calls.
Well, I want you to know you can call me anytime. You can text. I do return calls. And thanks so much for taking the time. Have a great abstinent day.
Talk to you later.
I'm not good at making outreach calls, but this weekend, that couple of things that I've been struggling with, and outreach calls is one of them, has been impressed on me this weekend. And it makes me realize that I love having deep connections with people. And I can stand up in front of a crowd and ad lib pretty easily, but I want those meaningful conversations. But they don't happen if you don't learn to do the chit chat that lead to then having that meaningful conversation. And so having been in the room, you get to stay in the room. I have been that person where it's like, thank you for picking up. You're the 50th person and nobody's picked up. And my, I'm also that person that didn't make the phone call. So I'm encouraged this weekend to do better because I know how important it is when I have been crazy and instead of eating, I was able to pick up the phone and call someone. And there have been at least a couple of times that I've been pretty hysterical on the phone with someone and they've been able to remind me of what is true about the program, what is true about my relationship with my higher power, and help me to feel okay about the moment and where I am, and so I can settle down enough to make that next step and that next right action. And so for everybody who has picked up, thank you very much. For everybody who stayed so that I can, program is still here and I can do better at making outreach, thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Ruth. I'm a compulsive overeater. Good to see everybody. So I have a couple of outreach stories that are kind of nice to share because I've been around almost as long as Lois. I've been here 33 and a half years and abstinent and really grateful. And one of the things that I have found is that all of these tools change over time. And my experience with them changes over time the longer I'm here. And the way I approach them in my first 30 days is not the way I deal with them today. But I do have a couple of cute stories. So one is that my father actually brought me into the program. And he was sharing with me that he had, maybe 15 days of abstinence, and he really wanted to eat. And he pulled out his outreach list that was on paper at the time, and he picked a guy off the list, just a name, and he called the guy, and the guy answered the phone, and he said, I really want to eat. And the guy talked to him for 20 minutes and told him why the program is so important and to stay abstinent, And then after 20 minutes, he felt much better. He said, okay, I don't feel like eating anymore. So I'm so glad that you answered the phone, and I'm so glad that you're in the program and abstinent. And the guy said, oh, I'm not abstinent. And I love that story because he didn't have to be abstinent to be helpful. And he didn't have to be abstinent. All he had to do was answer the phone. That was it. And saved my dad, who wanted to eat that day and didn't. So another story, I made an outreach call at some point and I got someone on the phone and I said, how are you doing? They said, oh my God, can't believe you just called. I am just about to eat a gallon of frozen stuff. And I said, why? And they said, I don't know. I just have to have it. And I said, well, actually, you don't have to have it. So how about if you dump it down the garbage disposal. And they're like, what? And I said, I'll stay on the phone with you while you do it. Because she says, no, I can't. I just bought it. I can't dump it down the garbage disposal. I said, I think you can. Let's do it together. And I heard the water, and it melted down the garbage disposal. And so those are like two stories of the power of the outreach. But the thing I really wanted to share about, and Lois, I appreciated your share today. I have a problem with everything being about me. So if making outreach calls is about me, what am I going to get out of it? This is how I'm going to stay abstinent because I'm making my outreach calls. I have learned I don't get abstinent by earning it, by doing things. I do things to reflect humility and surrender and willingness. And when I reflect that, I am graced with abstinence from God. Because I've heard people make time, I do all the tools and I still can't stay abstinent. And I said, because we don't earn abstinence by doing the tools. But what has helped me, especially with the outreach calls, and again, the longer I'm here, it isn't about me. Making the calls isn't about me. It's not what am I going to get out of the call. I'm going to do a checklist on my list of things I have to do today. It's about you. And if I can, and I do that with everything. Going to meetings and sharing is about you. It's not about me, right? Maybe I'm helping somebody. Maybe somebody needs to hear something. God is going to talk through me. So it really helps me when I'm needing to do anything, because I do need to do the tools, obviously, but I can't do them because it's about me. I have to do it because it's about you, and it's about reflecting that I'm being of service and I'm willing. And then my last story, real quick, because I heard the beep, is that one of the things that I like to do is to outreach people I haven't seen in a while. See how you're doing. I know how they're doing. They're doing shitty. I know that, because when you're out there, life is shitty. And a little over a year ago, I made an outreach call to someone I hadn't seen in a while. And she picked up the phone, not realizing it was me. She does say that if she knew it was me, she wouldn't have picked up the phone. And so God works in mysterious ways. And she's here today with over a year of abstinence, right? This is how they spend. So just, you know, it's not about do the outreach calls or you're going to be in trouble or you're not going to be abstinent. Do the outreach calls because this is what we do here. This is what we do for each other. And if we could do it from a place of what can I do for you today? And when I make calls, I say, how are you? I don't need to call and sometimes someone will call me and they'll ask, how are you? And I'm not in a great place and I talk about it. But most of the time, I talk to my sponsor about what's going on with me and my outreach calls are about what's going on with you and how can I help you? And how can I just listen? Will that be helpful? And they're much easier to make when I do it that way. So, and then you get people who are here for over a year abstinent who couldn't be abstinent and who had left the program. I mean, it's an amazing experience. So that's it. Thank you for what is.
I want to thank everybody for coming and I hope you enjoyed yourself. Thank you for the participation and maybe we could say the serenity prayer and I hope everyone has a good convention. Okay. God, grant me the serenity to accept the haze I cannot change, with the courage to teach the things I can, and to know the difference. God.
Skeet. Thank you.